To the Hebrews, for this reason we should give heed more abundantly to the things we have heard, lest in any way we should slip away. For if the word which was spoken by angels was firm, and every transgression and disobedience received just retribution, how shall we escape if we have been negligent of so great salvation, which having had its commencement in being spoken of by the Lord, has been confirmed to us by those who have heard, God bearing, besides, witness with them to it, both by signs and wonders, and various acts of power, and distributions of the Holy Spirit, according to his will. In chapter 3, in verse 7, wherefore, even as says the Holy Spirit, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, where your fathers tempted me by proving me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was wroth with this generation, and said, they always err in heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, if they should enter into my rest. See, brethren, lest there be in any one of you a wicked heart of unbelief, in turning away from the living God. And encourage yourselves each day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Chapter 6, verse 4, for it is impossible to renew again to repentance those once enlightened and who have tasted the heavenly gift, have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, have tasted the good word of God and the works of power of the age to come, and have fallen away, crucifying for themselves, as they do, the Son of God, and making a show of him. For ground which drinks the rain, which comes often upon it, and produces useful herbs for those whose sakes also is tilled, partakes of blessing from God, but bringing forth thorns and briars, it is found worthless and nigh to a curse, whose end is to be burned. If we are persuaded concerning you, beloved, better things, and connected with salvation, even if we speak thus, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which he hath shown to his name, having ministered to the saints and still ministering, but we desire earnestly that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience have been inheritors of the promises. Notice in these three passages that there's exhortation and warning. I thought it well, dear brethren, for us to think of these things. The book of the Hebrews is a critical book, or it visits saints or warns the saints about going back on the truth that they once enjoyed, the coming into the Christian profession as they did, turning from Judaism to embrace the Christian faith. And so the writer, whoever it might be, we're not told, writes in view of their to warn them and to encourage them to continue in the faith that they had embraced. And I thought these three passages show, on the one side, a decline, and also exhortations to continue and to be preserved in the faith that they once embraced. It's important for us in these days, for enemy is set against every feature of the truth and is alert to and quick to take advantage of any failing on our side, and we'll maximize it so that we end up as alas happened in chapter 6, which we shall refer to. But first of all, the apostle speaks of paying great attention to the great salvation that we have received. We should give heed more abundantly to the things we have heard, words were spoken by angels, and so on. How shall we be negligent of so great salvation? Wonderful thing, dear brethren, to have a view of what God has brought us into. It's like the people of Israel, I think. I connect this with the way in which they celebrated the Passover lamb to deliver them from judgment, and the Red Sea too, which delivered them from the power of the enemy. What a great victory, what a great salvation it was. God could say, I've brought you on eagle's wings and brought you myself. Take it out of the power of the world and its bondage to be found in the wilderness as a people that was for himself, as we're reading in Exodus. What a time that was for them, and they rejoiced in it. Didn't last very long, but at least they did rejoice. Says they sang on the other side of the Red Sea, and that's a wonderful thing to have the joy of salvation. Mm-hmm. One sense, these scriptures apply to the testimony, and they apply to us individually too. Mm-hmm. How we start off, and our joy in the Lord is having been saved from judgment, realize the power that was against us. We were destined for judgment, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. How thankful we are for it. And yet, you see, we may become negligent. As time goes on, the reality of it loses its luster, and we become negligent of this great salvation. It loses its point to us and becomes slack. And that's what the Hebrew saints were in danger of doing. So he reminds us of how it started. It started with the Lord Jesus himself. Wonderful message that he brought. Remember the way in which he stood up in Nazareth and the word was given to him, how he could open up the glad tidings. And the eyes of all were fixed upon him, it says. How wonderful those words of grace that fell from his lips at that time. Words that they'd never heard before. No wonder they were transfixed by the word that he was presenting. But he could also say, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, and it's the personal presentation of the glad tidings. The kingdom of God has drawn near in his person to bring persons into blessing. And so it is with us, dear brethren. We rejoice in these things at the start of our conversion, but do they continue? It says here, we've been neglectful, and then we begin to slip away. That's the first step of departure. It says, lest we should slip away. And the words have been confirmed to them, not only by the Lord himself, but by the apostles. And the demonstration of power of the Spirit. In those early days of the church, when the power of the Spirit was so manifest, the signs and wonders that were done, giving demonstration of a glorified Christ and a divine person here in the power of the Spirit. That these things are they tend to forget about them, and they were tending to go back in their minds and hearts to Judaism. And when we come to chapter 3, you see it's a further step away. It's really like the people in the wilderness, as it says, today, even as is the Holy Spirit, today, if you'll hear his voice. I might enlist to the time of the people in the wilderness. The land was presented to them by God, and spies were sent to search out the land, and testimonies given as to what the land was, a very, very good land. All the spies said it was a great land, but the point is that some thought that they couldn't attain to it, and that's where they were in the wilderness. They turned away from the living God, turned away, it says, they turning away from the living God, the sorrowful thing that was. And they declined the word of the two spies that said, let us go up, we're well able. Joshua and Cable, and Joshua and Caleb were able to go up and visit the land. It's like, as you know, we get into the wilderness, but God has something further for us in the glad tidings. Not only the glad tidings of relief and salvation, the glad tidings of the land. I'd like to hear more about that sometimes in the gospel. What God has in mind, the purpose of God. Colossians really answers to that. That greatness and glory of Christ, of which we sang at the beginning of the meeting, to obscure the view of others. And, or you say we can't attain to that. We can't take up our heavenly calling. And Paul had to labour at the heart of the Colossian saints for that. He says what conflict he had for them. Mm-hmm. And for those in Laodicea, they would come into the purpose of God. What the Spirit of God would open up to us, dear brethren, of our place with Christ, to seek the things which are above where Christ is. That's the over Jordan position that is before us, and we need strength for that. All the enemy would say, no, these giants are too big. Those people who've got clever minds and can argue the truth, they're not able to overcome these things. But we have the Spirit of God. So the apostle writes here, today, says the Holy Spirit, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We have the Holy Spirit. We don't need the clever minds. These people used to get a bit concerned with. People used to say to me, oh, well, about a brother who's got a clever mind. Dear brethren, it's not a clever mind, it's a spiritual mind that we need. Those that avail ourselves of what the Spirit of God is able to preserve to us. And so he says, today, if you hear his voice, bring the thing up to date, let it be current to us, that we might have some current joy of the land that is before us. We're not there yet. It's like Colossians, we're this side of the Jordan, but we shall soon be there, where Christ is the head and centre of all, and where his the assembly is his counterpart, and his companion. These things are open for us to enter into, but it needs conflict, it needs exercise on our part to enter into it, that we might make these things our own. Not just find it on the page of Scripture, but find it in the ministry. Valuable brothers who have searched these things out and embraced them for themselves, but to make them things ourselves, make them our own as well. Oh, dear brethren, what an insensitive it is that Paul had to spoke of Ephesus, a local Russian brother, who it says he combated earnestly for the saints there and for those in Laodicea, that they might stand perfectly complete in all the will of God. Mm. Well, these things are for us. We let us be aware that we don't turn away, but we might encourage ourselves as long as it is called today, that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Mm. How easy things come in, dear brethren. Mm. Sin is deceitful. It presents an attractive world there. And the enemy behind it is the master of deceit. And he'll lead young brethren astray, thinking he's got something better for them to do than pursue Christian activities. Mm. May it be that our hearts are attracted to Christ where he is, and therefore seek our energies to be devoted to him in that sphere, and find our part there too. Or just in Hebrews 6, the whole very solemn picture, as we know, I become it's impossible to renew again to repentance those who have been enlightened and tasted of heavenly gift and been partakers of the Holy Spirit, that tasted the good word of God and the works of power, and the age to come and fallen away. Mm. That's an apostate, of course. That's what the profession is heading up to. Indeed, it's in it already. These things have been known in the Christian profession and embraced them by profession, but there'd be no real vital work of God. And so the result is they fall away. And that's what happens if we're only in things externally. Mm. Unless we face these exercises of Colossians and Ephesians, this is what will happen, we shall fall away. We might come into places of great privilege. To be among the brethren, among the people of God is a great privilege. You hear heavenly things, you enter into the service of God, you sing the hymns and praise God, and yet your heart is not in it. And you taste it of the good things to come. You hear brethren speaking of the world to come, of which we speak, where Christ is the Son and Senator of that world to come, and yet we're not really in it. How sad it is. A brother many, many years ago who was brought up among the brethren, listened to the gospel preaching and watered on the nose room at that time, and fell away indeed. Came a great man in the Socialist Party of the day, and was and led astray, led others astray as well as us. No evidence of the work of God. And yet at the end of his life he was confined to bed with a stroke. He just wondered whether perhaps the early days in which he might have committed himself to the Lord, God secured his work in him. We don't know. But how sad it is to fall away. We realize the great privileges that are open to us, that we need to wait on our own and to be here. As the apostle says, he was persuaded as been. Better things. Wonderful thing that. Better things. Hebrews is a book of better things, better promises, better salvation. All that it's graded. We have to compare it with what has gone before. But it's better. Everything is better in Christianity. Let's lay hold of it for ourselves. He said, we are persuaded concerning you, beloved, better things connected with salvation, even if we speak thus. He was just warning them, same vein, you see, it says the same things came upon the land, some brought herbs, others brought thorns and briars. We can't blame the ministry, can't blame what God has given in his grace and mercy for the help and encouragement of the saints. It's what the effect is upon ourselves, the work of God in us. That will respond to what divine love has in mind for a stranger. So he says, each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. What an end it is, dear brethren. And it's very, very near. Certainly, if we find continuance, that's nearer for some of us than others. But what a thing it is to have the full assurance unto the end. Saying, I'm not going to be put off by the various things that come in to reflect the sense and the purpose of God. Let us pursue the heavenly things that are for our portion and our blessing. To his name's sake. Amen. Amen.